We're looking at a series today, Jesus-centered, Spirit-led, Hope Revealed. Last week, JB took us through what it looks like to be Jesus-centered, and I'm asked to look at the Spirit-led idea. And the scripture I've been given wouldn't be the first scripture I would choose. Acts chapter 8. Thanks, Amy, for reading that. And it's a really interesting story. We're going to delve a bit deeper into that. But it got me asking the question, because I think Philip in this scripture is a little bit crazy for a couple of things that happen. And I had to ask myself, what are some of the crazy things I've done in my life? And why do I do them? So I'm going to take you back just a few months ago. I've got a picture on the screen here. I'm not one that loves heights. Not a great sort of person for heights. Kylie, you might have heard, did the whole Harbour Bridge thing. I know a lot of you have done that, where it's not enough to drive over the Harbour Bridge. You have to go on top of the, piece of metal and look down. But if you like that, that's a good thing. Hands up if you don't like heights. Is anyone with me here? Good, a few people. Well, some of you know that Kylie was asked to go to London earlier in the year, so I backed on the end of that for a sort of cheaper holiday, because I only had to pay for me, not for Kylie. And went around different parts of the world. But the couple that we're travelling with, what we do when, it's a good travel tip for you, when you're travelling with other people or a couple or whatever, we often say, you all get to choose one thing each you want to do, just so it's diplomatic. And our friend Brad, I ring up Brad on the phone and go, what do you want to do when we do this little overseas thing? And he goes, I want to go to the tallest building in the world. Now, I didn't even know where that was, to be honest. And as I've soon discovered, Dubai. So I thought, how are we going to fit this into itinerary? And I look up, the cost of Dubai and all these sorts of things. And it was sort of not in my officer budget to go there. But I could work it out because Doha, the way we flew, it was cheaper, believe it or not, to do a day trip to Dubai than to actually sleep there overnight. So I'm a bit of a, had to save the dollars here. Now, hands up if you've been to Dubai. Put your hand up. Oh, well, a few people in the room. And who's done the Burj Khalifa? No, come on. Oh, there's someone here. All right, so this enormous building, 840 metres high. Let's go to the next picture. You'll see here, as you're going in the foyer, they have these words. So I was, had this sort of trepidation. I thought, I've got to do this, even though it costs a heap of money to go up this massive building. If I'm going to go to Dubai, I've got to do the tallest building in the world. You probably can't read all these words, but has the most sort of motivating pictures. You know how you line up and you go through these things in tourist places. I am the power that lifts the world's head proudly skyward, surpassing limits and expectations, rising gracefully from the desert and honouring the city with a new glow. It was, just inspiring to read all these words. You can look this up sometime if you want to read it all. I am the heart of the city and its people, the marker that defines Emir's ambition and Dubai's shining dream. More than just a moment in time, I define moments for future generations. I am Burj Khalifa. So I was pumped, wasn't I? By the time I got to the lift, had this inspiring, it was like, being preached at. And I jump in this lift and about literally like, I think it's 90 seconds, you go 140 stories up, etc. So there we go, the Burj Khalifa, this picture out the window here. And that's how high we were. And I thought I'd done it all. And then, of course, you chat with some other people. I think we went to the 121st floor. And they go, oh, you only went to the 121st floor. I went to the 140th and someone else went to the 160th. The building just keeps going. Anyway, it's the most amazing view and obviously so high. And the last picture, this is just a lady I met in London. Look at that. That's just to prove that we're actually there as a couple, in case you were doubting. But now with AI, it doesn't matter what you do because you can do that without actually going. So you can all do that if you want. That's something crazy I did. bit crazy for me, not crazy for others. But this scripture for me is about this guy, Philip. A bit of history here for you. So Philip, there's two Philips in the Bible. There's Philip, the apostle of Jesus, which you hear about in the Gospels. And then in Acts, another Philip's introduced. So this is Philip the evangelist, who's known through this story as studying the church in Ethiopia. And Philip is asked to do something crazy, isn't he? The angel says to Philip, go basically south and stand on a road. And Philip obeys. That's why the story's in the Bible. God asks him to do something. He's spirit-led, and he goes and stands on the road. And then he says, go to that chariot and stay near it. So then he has to go to this random chariot, and it says there that the Spirit instructs. So it goes from this idea that the angel tells him to go to a road, and then the Spirit instructs Philip to stand near the chariot. And then to make the story even a bit crazier, we have the eunuch. Now, there's a few under 18s in the room, so I won't explain what a eunuch is, but if you want to chat with your parents when you get home, you can do that. But an Ethiopian leader, so a person of power who is also a person, because they're a eunuch, they're discriminated against. They can't go to all parts of the temple. It's quite an involved situation and process. But this eunuch needed someone to explain the scriptures to him. He was in the chariot. He was reading the word of God, but he wasn't going to come to faith unless Philip did something a little bit crazy and basically decided to listen to an angel, guided by the Spirit, explains the word of God, and of course, this eunuch's life is transformed, comes to faith. And the story ends with the eunuch being baptized, all because Philip was willing to do something a little bit crazy. And for me, that is what it's like to be spirit-led. You do something a little bit crazy. And that's not always easy for people, isn't it? We like sort of structure, formality, normal traditions. We don't like change very often in our lives. But in the way Kylie and I became officers, and the way was doing something a bit crazy, we sort of stepped out of our comfort zone. We said, we're going to sign this covenant. We're going to, you know, have these funny red things on our shoulders probably the rest of our lives and go wherever the Salvation Army and God sends us. And God speaks to us and we go. So we have this image here of three things. When it's spirit-led, that is up here on the screen. Listen, it says in the notes that we were given for this, how to be spirit-led. To listen, to discern, and to go. So it's about listening to God's voice. We're probably not all going to get an angel like Philip got, but we can listen to the word of God. We can listen to what God's telling us. Then we need to discern that word so we don't do something completely crazy. And then we're asked to go and do what God's asking of us. So when it comes to listening, what advice have I got to you about listening? First of all, don't speak to my wife about if she thinks I'm a good listener, because it might not go too well for you. Like a lot of marriages, not all of us get it right when it comes to listening. But I learnt this verse many years ago that I try and hang on to. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to listen, each whisper of thy word, like him to answer at thy call and to obey thee first of all. I learnt that verse probably 20 years ago, and I was taught by the preacher at the time to try and say that every day in my life. I haven't always done that, but I still try and listen to the voice of God. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer at thy call and to obey thee first of all. It's an old song from our songbook, and it's still in the new songbook for those that have it. But that verse is a great way to live your life, to be open to the whispers of God, to the voice of God. I encourage you all, if you want to be good listeners, to give yourself some space and time. It's hard now, isn't it, with devices. I don't know about you, but I have an iPad, I have an iPhone. I go for walks most days, often with Kylie. When Kylie's not there, I go for walks. But I used to try and walk without anything going on, but of course now I've got these amazing AirPod things, which are fantastic. The noise cancelling, aren't they great? Who has a pair of them? Yeah, they just block out everything and you go into your own little world. But then again, I start listening to other things, sometimes podcasts, sometimes radio shows, sometimes music. But again, I bring all this other stuff into my head, don't I, with my AirPods. And then I stop talking to people as I'm out walking. But we all do different things. But what I'm saying is you need to give yourself space and time, don't you? Whether that's turning the TV off or turning your phone off or going to another space and trying to listen to the voice of God. I've got up there, the last thing about listening to God is we can gather in prayer meetings, and encourage you to do this. We have one, for those who don't know, every Sunday here at church at 9 a.m. I think we had about 8 of us gathered this morning. And the last couple of weeks, as I've sat in there, we've done PRAY, the acronym we used in a series that JB took us through a few months ago. Pause, rejoice, ask, yield. This idea of going through a way of praying. But it's about listening to God, changing our spaces, changing what we do to hear the voice of God. But be careful, I say, because if we start listening to God, God might ask us to do crazy things or unpredictable things or things maybe that you don't think are that normal, and your life will change. So the next point here, it says, is about discerning. What does it look like to discern? It says, be sure it is the Spirit that's leading. Now, that's sometimes hard, isn't it? It's sometimes hard. One of the hardest things for me when I was a youth leader for many years is when you had young, enthusiastic teenagers come up to me and say, God told me. I said, oh, really? Yeah, God told me I'm going to date this guy next week and we're going to get married in 2 years' time. I said, aren't you 14? Like, that doesn't quite make sense. But this God told me thing is really interesting, isn't it? There's a real balance here, because we can say God told me. It's great, because we're saying we're hearing the voice of God and we're discerning and we've made up the mind that it's God's decision that I'm going to do this or go there or be here. And we say God told me. But we need to make sure it's the Spirit leading. So how do we do that? Encourage you to know your scriptures. You know, if God's telling me to do something stupid that's not in the scripture, you know, if he's telling me to hate people instead of love people or buy 10 houses and I don't have any money, like it's not going to work, right? It doesn't line up with his word. But we need to make sure it lines up with scripture. And then if you have any doubts, I encourage you to find wise mentors and leaders in your life. There's a lot of great people in this room you can have a talk to, or have a coffee with and say, look, I sense God might be telling me to move here or start this ministry or pray for this person or be a friend to this family. And you just might need a wise person to speak to and discern. It's part of the discerning the voice of God. And then thirdly, it says to go. I like this statement that says, two-thirds of God is go, isn't it? Go. And, you know, Philip goes. In this scripture we've heard, he hears the Spirit. He decides it is a Spirit. He discerns the voice of God, and then he goes, and God uses Philip, doesn't he, to transform the eunuch, which in form then in turn transforms Ethiopia and brings a whole new community to faith because he's willing to go. And I really believe there are people in the community God wants us to reach. And God won't reach those people unless people of faith, Christians such as us, are willing to go, to get out of our comfort zones, to do something a little bit crazy or silly in the world's eyes. But as it says in Scripture, God will continue to send people. He will continue to lead our church, and we must continue to follow and go. Well, going is part of our DNA. If those that know the Salvation Army, we are a go movement. William Booth and Catherine Booth, who started the Salvation Army way back in the 1800s, the idea was not to be a church. It wasn't really to sit around in nice buildings and worship God. It was to be a mission. And the idea was to go, to get out of the building, to hear the Spirit of God, discern the Spirit, and then go and be there for the people. And if we put this picture up here, you'll see this building here. It's called the Blind Beggar. I know we have a few historians in the room here, but on a certain date, way back in the 1800s, William Booth started the movement called the Christian Mission, which became the Salvation Army. And he didn't sort of book a nice venue like this and put leaflets out or something on the web. Actually, there was no web back in the 1800s, so he couldn't even do that. He went out to the people, didn't he? Peter, do you want to stand up for us with your shirt on there? This is a great shirt. Turn 90 degrees that way. Excellent. Good listening. See on his sleeve there, can you tell everyone what's the date on that shirt there? What's it say? Mark, you've got good eyes, haven't you? Can you read the side of his shirt there? 1865. He's got one of these Salvo shirts. Excellent. 1865. July 1865, William Booth stood outside this building in Whitechapel. So this is east of London, called the Blind Beggar. I've been there. Has anyone else been to the Blind Beggar? Yeah. Oh, very good. And when I did the whole tour of the East End of London and the Salvo started, I was very intrigued to go to the Blind Beggar. And there's all these stories there of gangsters being shot and there's a bullet hole in the wall and there's all this history you can read about. But the Blind Beggar, notorious place in London, is where William Booth started basically the Christian Mission, which became the Salvos. So he didn't go inside a building. He went to the people. He went to some of the worst parts of London. He went out and God blessed the ministry there. And to this day, as a Salvation Army, I believe we need to go. And if we want to see people saved, people come like this eunuch came to faith, it's only going to happen when Philip hears the word of God and he goes, when we hear the word of God and we go. Whatever that looks like today, it's completely different. This week I was in Ipswich. I work with Salvo stores. I've travelled around a bit, so I was up in Brisbane. Thursday morning we did a store opening there in Ipswich. So I have me sort of the real deal on, the epaulets, the whole Salvation Army kit. I go for coffee after we've done the opening. And of course, what often happens in just public spaces in the cafe, this lady wanted to talk to me. She goes, "Sir, Salvation Army man," she called me, "Salvation Army man, have you got a minute?" You know, so I sit down, 10 minutes. She wants to talk to me about her history of the Salvation Army and how she used to go to a Sunday school. She played the timbrel about 50 years ago at some core I'd never heard of in Brisbane. Anyway, the employee who I was with, by the end of this 10 minutes, they'd worked out a way how she could get back to church on a Sunday morning because she really wanted to go to the local church, but she didn't have transport, et cetera, et cetera. Why am I telling you that story? Because unless I was wearing a uniform, you know, it's great. We have all different sorts of uniforms now with shields and everything. It still works when we go into the community and we have Salvation Army uniforms or shirts on or jackets on, doesn't matter what it is. There's conversations to be had. People are still reached for the gospel. And God still uses the Salvation Army today. So he calls us to go, and I encourage us not to lose that DNA. I've got one final piece of information to share. And this quote up on the wall here, pursuing a God-ordained passion, no matter how crazy it seems, is the most responsible thing you can do. At the start of the year, I was at a conference about faith and what it looks like to share our faith. And we're all asked to read this book, The Wild Goose Chase, which I thought was a bit of a strange book. Now, I'm encouraging you to get a copy of this and read it. Let me read you the back here. The Celtic Christians had a name for the Holy Spirit. This morning we're looking at Spirit-led. The Celtic Christians had a name for the Holy Spirit called the Wild Goose. And that's why this is called The Wild Goose Chase. The name hints at mystery. Much like a wild goose, the Spirit of God cannot be tracked or tamed. An element of danger, an air of unpredictability around him. And while the name may sound a little sacrilegious, I cannot think of a better description of what it's like to follow the Spirit through life. I think the Celtic Christians were onto something. Most of us will have no idea where we are going most of the time. I'll say that again. Most of us will have no idea where we are going most of the time. And I know that is unsettling, but circumstantial uncertainty also goes by another name, adventure. Most of us have no idea where we're going most of the time. Perfect, it says in another quote. Perfect. There's this mystery, there's this adventure, this wild goose chase. If you start to become spirit-led, as individuals, as a church, we don't know really where we're going to end up, where we're going. Some people find that exciting, adventurous. God's going to do amazing things with us as individuals and as a church. Or we can try and plan our whole lives ourselves and maybe just get a little bit predictable and boring. I encourage us each to chase the wild goose. Let the Holy Spirit lead your life. Do some radical things, do something a little bit crazy, get out of your comfort zone and see what God will do with you. Who knows, you might start as a school teacher and end up doing weddings for your former students, end up at the Burj Khalifa and one day preach at Parramatta Salvos. Who knows what God will take you to do. But life is exciting when you chase the wild goose. So be spirit-led. I pray that as a church, as individuals, you'll do that.